Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Russ M., and I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, December 27, 2024. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We're in How It Works, page 67, that third paragraph starting with, notice the word fear, and it ends with, seems to cause us trouble. All right. So our readers today, for the steps, we have Matthew G., the 12 traditions, 10s, and P. Starting us off with the text is going to be Nick F. Page 164 is Nancy R. Our newcomer greeter is Tony B. Second hour host is Matt J.F. The announcements, Kathy S. is going to help us with that. The reference numbers for yesterday, Thursday, December 26, 2024, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,025. That's 22,025. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,026. 22,026. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees from members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and a practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I've asked Matthew G. to take care of the 12 steps. He's going to read them for us today.
Thank you. Good morning. Matthew G., recovered compulsive overeater in Paris, France. And these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you so much for allowing me to do service.
Thanks, Matthew. Next up is Tenzin P. and so I'm going to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everyone. Tenzin P, usually in New York, checking in from Mexico. And here are the 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsive eating. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much. Wishing everyone a blessed day.
Thanks, Matthew and Tenzin. Appreciate your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, that you keep your share approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the direction in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today we resume our study. We are back in How It Works, page 67, that third paragraph, starting with notice the word fear, and it ends with seems to cause us trouble. And Nick F. is going to take care of the reading today and share for us. Go ahead, Nick F.
Good morning, family. This is Nick F. in Tennessee, recovered compulsive overeater. It said, notice that the word fear is bracketed alongside the difficulties with Mr. Brown, Ms. Jones, the employer, and the wife. This short word somehow touches about every aspect of our lives. It was an evil and corroding thread. The fabric of our existence was shot through with it. It set in motion trains of circumstances which brought us misfortune we felt we didn't deserve. But did not we ourselves set the ball rolling? Sometimes we think fear ought to be classed with stealing. It seems to cause more trouble. Fear. Yeah, it's been stole a lot from me. And it seems as if when I knew that it was stealing from me, I still kept it. I kept it steal some more things. You know, once I was aware that my compulsive overeating was inhibiting me, you know, just maybe had a clue. The fact that I was over 400 pounds wasn't clue enough, but the pain and degradation I felt waking up every morning, hell, fear, I got scared to wake up in the morning. I got scared to go to bed every night. I couldn't go to bed without, you know, putting myself in a sugar coma, and I couldn't wake up and face the day without putting myself in a sugar coma. And it stole a lot. It stole a lot. It stole a lot of time with my kids, time that I can't get back. But I woke up at 4 a.m. this morning, and I had my abstinent mind and my recovered mind, and I said to myself, not knowing that this was going to be the reach, I said, I'm going to just think the most courageous thoughts that I could think. I'm just going to dare to say that it's going to be okay today. And I got up, and I'm at the gym now, and I found a quiet place that I could read and get on the line. And, you know, I really want to make this disease hate me. I won't die. I won't give up. I won't quit. It's a fight inside of me. I'm tired of letting this shit steal from me. I'm trying to get back everything that it took from me and some more. You know, I get to be as fearless, as courageous, as honest as I want to be. And I get to do that every morning and every time that I connect and link with another visionary. I used to be afraid to come to this meeting. You know, they talk about us visionaries. We too serious. But when I was getting my ass kicked the worst by this disease in an abstinence body and mind, I said, well, I guess I better get crazy because it's going to keep on taking from me. So I found God gave me the most serious and the most real meeting that I feel has ever been created on the planet. And I done been to a lot of meetings between AACA, OA, all these other A's. This is the place for me. I done found home. And one day at a time, I get to try to keep showing up, keep being fearless. I got my hand in my sponsor's hand, and I'm going to tell you something. I never sponsored for real, until I got right here. And if my sponsor is on the line, I thank God for crying with me, sharing her tears with me. Man, this shit is for real. So I thank God for that. And with that, I pass.
All right, Nick, thank you. Appreciate you. All right, so now we're going to open up the lines for sharing. And although we value experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. So if you share Wednesday or Thursday, please step back. We have all those to share. And I need your name, first initial, where you're calling from. And if we could do it one at a time, that would be great, but it's tough, I know. Who wants to share?
Janet B.
Nancy P.
Janet B. Nancy.
Johan N.
Johan.
Daria F.
Connie N. from Pennsylvania.
Daria F.
Yes.
Connie M.
N.
And then
from Pennsylvania.
From PA. Okay.
Did you get Hanayeta?
Hanayeta, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Come on, we got time for more. Who else? Don't be shy. Man, you guys are taking it easy on me today. All right, let's
Carolyn F. New York.
Who's that again? I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Carolyn S. from New York.
And Tina S.
There we go.
And then add me in, Anne Marie M.
There it is. There we go. We got it rolling now. All right, so we got Janet B., Nancy P., Johan N., Daria F., Connie N., Hanayeta R., Caroline S., Tina S., Emery M. All right, you are up, Janet B.
Good morning. This is Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. I love this paragraph. I think it's so just interesting and so jam-packed with stuff. Because fear is evil. I mean, that's interesting right off the bat, right? Like, we don't think of emotions as evil. If I'm happy or if I'm sad, no one would say, oh, you're sad, that's evil. But they're saying fear is an evil and corroding thread. And look what it does. It set in motion trains of circumstances, which brings us misfortune, right? Our book says our troubles are mainly of our own making. Well, how can my fear, my emotion, bring something bad into my life? And so I was like thinking about that one day, and I thought about our step two, another like a kind of weird step, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Why do we have to believe that? Because on the spiritual plane, my belief, my faith that God can restore me to sanity actually sets things in motion on the spiritual plane. It's almost like once I say, yes, I believe that God can restore me to sanity, he says to his like little team of angels, okay, guys, our next search and rescue mission is for her. Let's go save her. But if I have fear, I'm not trusting God. It's like I'm trusting the other team. I'm trusting that bad things will happen. And on a spiritual plane, it sets things in motion. So I have to be so careful of fear. And our book tells us what we do, right? Page 68 says, there's a better way, trusting and relying on God. And then it tells us how we can be at peace, how we can have serenity, no matter what calamity is going on around us. We just need to do two things. We need to play the role that God assigns us. So it's like, God, What would you have me do in this situation? And trust him with the outcome. God, I'll do what I think you want, and whatever happens, I will trust that it's your will. And I find that when I live like that, I can have peace and not fear, even when my kids are making bad decisions, even when my job looks like it's going to all blow up and I won't have a job in a few months. I can be at perfect peace because I trust that this God who loves me is going to make things work out. And my trust is actually a part of these things working out. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Janet. Next up is Nancy P. Bye-bye. Johan N. No Celtic talk. We're not talking about no Boston teams.
All right. I will say, though, if you're from New England, I'm as happy as a clam. Now, that is a New England expression. It might even be only for Boston, but I'm as happy as a clam today. And it's not my fault that the Celtics won the championship. Anyway, so notice the word fear is bracketed alongside all this other stuff. It is an evil and corroding thread. But I also feel, for me, you know, I tell this to my sponsees, you know, my opinion is that resentments are not always, or even very often in my case, a result of a buildup of human emotions, because more often than not, my eating came upon me like suddenly. You know, I'd be in my living room sitting on my couch reading a good book, a legal thriller, just at the point when the murderer was exposed in the courtroom by the lawyer. I'd put my book down and say, I think I'll go get something to eat. You know, there's no rhyme or reason as to when I would eat. And my resentments, all of our resentments, it says in the book, you know, we distill them down to their purest form. And what are they? The purest form is fear. So I think of fear as a shape. You know, they say that resentment from it stems all forms of spiritual disease, but stems grow above the ground. And the soil that they grow in, from, you know, the soil that my resentments grow in is fear, and it's fertile. And it's life-giving, you know, for my resentments. And, you know, I wrote a book. It was 550 pages of resentments, and it didn't take, and I ate for 13 more years. And then when I came into this meeting, I got a vision sponsor who whipped me into shape pretty good and pretty hard. And she gave me, that book took me 3 years to write, 1 hour a night, 6 nights a week. And it didn't take, and my vision sponsor gave me 2 weeks to write my fourth step inventory, and lo and behold, 2 weeks later, it was 6 pages long, and but the fears were exactly the same: fear of not getting what I want, fear of not getting what I need, someone taking something from me, other people's opinions, and abandonment. And I don't like basements, and I don't like roller coasters. But other than that, I'm pretty steady on my feet. But those fears that I mentioned, you know, fear of not getting what I want or what I need, have polluted my life and have twisted it and perverted it into something ugly, evil, and corroding. And it's like a sleeping giant. And today, you know, because I work hard on my recovery, my feelings, those feelings don't own me. I acknowledge them every night when I do my written 11-step inventory. Was I afraid? Most nights, yes, only because I quantify everything from mild anxiety to, you know, bone-crushing paralysis as fear. It's all in the same umbrella because there's no other place to put it. And but it doesn't own me. I can say that out loud. And if I need to, I can call somebody up. I don't do 10 steps, as it's like, you know, it's another story for another step. But, you know, I can talk to my sponsor or one or two other people who I really trust and who really know me. And I can call them up. I'll wrap up with this and say, I have some fear, and I want to talk about it. And for me, the solution to my fear is the same as the solution to every other problem in this book. Throw myself the harder into helping others. Do that, and I promise you, you know, you get every single promise that the book says that you'll get, and all of it is based on one thing and one thing only. Say it with me. Surrender, surrender, surrender. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Nance. Next up is Johan N., followed by Daria F.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Russ. Thank you so much for service. Good morning. My name is Johan N. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Sweden. Amazing shares. Thank you so much. And great paragraph. I love how they, you know, how it's connected and how they connect the resentments with the fears in these paragraphs. And like people, you know, before me was talking about here, that my resentments are connected to my fears. And it, my resentments, you know, comes from my fears. And that that resentments is, you know, about the past, and the fears is about the future. And I heard a scientific study that somebody made, and they talked about it on the radio. And the study was checking if how many of the fears are, you know, correct, or what if they even happen, you know. And in the end of the study, it was 86% of the fears never happen. They never happen. 86% of the fears. So what I do is I go around, I worry, I have fears about this and about that, and it all comes from the future. It all comes, you know, from trying to run the show. It all comes from control, and it goes out, it comes resentment, and round and round it goes. And through this inventory and coming to the second inventory, like the fear inventory, and start to, like you say in the next paragraph, you know, putting these fears on paper and then starting to look at them and, you know, starting to pray for them. And in the end, you know, in the fifth step, sharing them with somebody. Today, I'm not riddled with fears. Like it says in Big Book as well, you know, driven by 100 forms of fears, like I was when I came in, and I was eating on it constantly. And that's not the case anymore, you know. So what the program does is I get this inner healing. I get to live in step 10, 11, and 12 as a recovered compulsive overeater. And that takes me to here and now, you know. And here and now, there is no fears. Here and now, there is no fears. The fears is about the future. The fears is just my mind, you know, blabbing about the future and what's going to happen and this and that and all that, you know. But step 10, 11, and 12 is just so amazing because it takes me back to here and now, takes me back to God, to love, to forgiveness, and to recovery. So, you know, it's amazing. Yeah, it's an amazing program, and it really works, man. So thank you, and I'll pause. Thanks.
Thanks, Johan. Appreciate it. And next up is Daria F.
Good morning. Good morning to everyone. Thank you all for doing service, and thank you for the wonderful shares that preceded. My name is Daria F. I am in Michigan. I am recovered one day at a time, and that's what my recovery today allows me to do, is to overcome my fear of speaking on this meeting and sharing my thoughts. Interestingly enough, when I, you know, when we read this paragraph and that word fear just jumped out at me, and fear is something that's driven me all my life. I would wake up every morning with this huge fear about what this day was going to bring, and do I, you know, am I capable of dealing with it? And what I'm finding is that the opposite of fear for me is trust, that I can turn to my higher power and trust that I will be given what I need to do the things that I need to do that may be, that are directed by my higher power. You know, my way of dealing with fear in the past was planning, pre-planning, extra planning, lists, just anticipating, you know, what might happen and how I can control it so that I do not have the fear. And it still takes over now and then. I'm just really grateful that I have a way to deal with it. And it's a daily thing for me. I still wake up some mornings in anxiety, even a little bit of anxiety, and I know that I can turn to my higher power and let go and trust that I will be led to do what it is that I need to do, aligned with my higher power's will for me. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Daria. So before, I believe it's Connie's jumping up here. We're going to let you know where we're at in case you got on the meeting a little late. We are on page 67 and how it works, that third paragraph, starting with notice the word fear, and it ends with seems to cause more trouble. All right. Connie is up.
Hi, I'm Connie M. Lickin-Michael. Sorry about that. And this is, I'm a newcomer to this meeting. Been in recovery for 35 years as a food addict. Have an amazing sponsor who had told me about the meeting many, many times. Much like others have said, the fear of speaking up or being good enough comes back, you know. And I had a very dear, also connected OA person who would say to me that, you know, unless you can stay there, or you can do it and let go of the fear and the anxiety. You do belong. Like what, when I first came into program, I was 27 years old and I thought my life was too late. I was too late. I was always going to be afraid. So I'm mostly introducing myself and feeling so very grateful for the past almost month now. I've listened to the recap of the meetings, but I spoke today. So that fear, I feel so much better and belong, like I belong. So thank you and for letting me share. Thank you, everyone, for your service. This meeting is amazing. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Connie. Welcome. Keep on coming. All right. Next up is Hanietta R., followed by Carolyn S.
Good morning. This is Hanietta R. from Texas, Plano, Texas. And I am a recovered compulsive overeater. I am in remission today. Thank you for letting me share. It says that this short word, fear, is an evil and corroding thread, the fabric of our existence, the shot through. Corroding, to eat away by degrees, as if by gnawing, something gnawing, corroding our existence. And that just like kind of goes through me, like corroding. But I definitely believe that it is something that is there and it will eat me up in a sort, you know, corroding, like somebody putting acid on something and watching it just shrivel up. If I allow that fear to permeate my existence. So what do we do? What do I do about that? Of course, I do the fourth step. And this is all, you know, things that are coming out in the fourth column. We're talking still, I think, about the fourth column. And I just have to put it on paper. I have to look at it. And I have to pray and to ask God to remove it. But as circumstances which brought us misfortune, we felt we didn't deserve. But did we not ourselves start the ball rolling? Was I not pissed off? Was I not upset? I didn't get my way. It didn't go my way. I didn't feel like it. I was deserving of all the stuff that was happening, but I'm the one who's put it in motion 98% of the time. And there are times in my life that I didn't do that. And then we talk about that. But I really have to look at the fact that where did I set that ball rolling? Where did I, you know, cause the fear to permeate my body. And And the other thing I wanted to say is that somebody, I hope they're on the meeting right now, but somebody on the meeting a few days ago, last week, I think, said that they wanted to put the fourth column in the big book. They wanted to take that to the World Service. And I would love to help with that. Thank you. I'll close with that. I would love to help with it. I would love to see that miracle happen. Don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle. Welcome to the newcomers, whether you say your name or not. Don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle. Thank you very much for your service. Oh, and happy Hanukkah.
Thanks, Donietta. Next up is Carolyn S., followed by Tina S.
Hi there. I'm Carolyn S. from New York. I am a recovered but not cured compulsive overeater. I wake up every day an untreated addict, and I need to plug into God every day. A fear used to completely dictate my life. And though I do trust in God, I can easily slip back into fear. And I have to ask God to help me push through it. As an example, I work in a library at the circulation desk, so I'm the one that checks things in and out and stuff. A while ago, I guess like a couple of years ago, they put in a new system, and now we each have like a passcode when we sign on so that anything we do can be looked at later, right? So I'm afraid of making a mistake, and then they'll look and see who did it, and they'll call me out. And I will take that fear and play it out, and then, I'm thinking they're going to fire me or shame me. I'm not sure which is worse. And as a result, the fear changes my actions. It changes my quality of life. Instead of, doing my best and being confident, I'm second-guessing everything. Like, maybe I shouldn't start this, this task because I'm not 100% sure I'll do it right, and I don't want to be called out. Better to just pretend I didn't see the email and let someone else pick it up because we all have the same email chain. That is an example of how it is an evil and corroding thread. It takes away my confidence. It makes me a more timid employee. And it's not just about work, of course. It's every aspect of my life. It's my children. It's my husband. It's my financial future. I'm afraid I'm going to die poor and alone. It's not likely, but it definitely could happen. So why not live there in that fear and have it totally, undercut my daily life? It's evil, and my life is shot through with it. And every day I have to ask God to help me trust in Him. It doesn't mean bad things won't happen. Bad things happen to everyone, but what it means is that God's got my back. And when I hear about somebody, in the hospital or ill, I don't say, God, please cure them. I say, God, please help them to deal with your will. Give them courage and strength. I used to, be like, asking Him for specific outcomes. And I realize now that I don't know the right answer, but God does. God sees everything simultaneously. He can help everyone in the world and the universe simultaneously. There is no end to His power. He doesn't run out of time, So why would I trust that niggling doubt in the back of my head over my powerful and loving God? And I have to keep reminding myself that God is the answer. I am His child. He loves me. He sees what's going on, and there's a purpose. Thank you.
Perfect timing. Awesome. Okay, thanks, Carolyn. Next up is Tina S., followed by Anne-Marie M.
Thanks for your service, Russ. Tina S., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic in Florida. Yeah, wow, what a great meeting. Lots of great shares, and I can so relate to all of it, And, when I first got here, I didn't think I was afraid of anything, Wow, what a revelation I had. Let me just tell you, I was afraid of everything. And when I read this paragraph today, or when I do a four-step, I know from inside me, from my soul, that it's all about fear. It's all about, being afraid of losing something I have or not getting something I want. And most times, I love all the shares that talked about that. Most times, all these fears are in the future. And
they bear, and most of them do, never come true. But, you know, I can be in that position today that, it, you know, when before I got absent, it paralyzed me. I mean, and that's just the truth. I was paralyzed by fear. I could go from my home to my car to my job back, and that's the only places I could go because I was paralyzed by fear, you know. And by working the steps and having had a spiritual awakening, you know, and a transformation of myself, you know, of me, you know, today I'm not, you know, I still have fears, you know, and sometimes in the mornings when I wake up, I get this anxiety still today, you know, how many years later, one day at a time. But the first thought that comes to my mind is, help me, God, you know. And so then I get up out of bed and I do my prayers and my meditation and I do all that kind of stuff and I go on with my day. And that anxiety has subsided, you know. But, you know, I just have to share this, you know, about all these fears in the future. You know, I'm going to retire at the end of April. And I am just, you know, every day I have to say the fear prayers for, about the financial stuff. Because for whatever reason, I have never been, this is just my experience, I have never been homeless. I have never not had a little bit of money in my pocket. You know, not that I've had a lot. But, and so why do I think, you know, after working all these years, that when I retire, I'm going to be broken homeless because that's where I go, you know. And it is, and somebody had shared this, it is all about not trusting and relying on God. And then the, you know, the next page is going to tell us, you know, we're on a different basis today. And I am so grateful when I can remember that, you know, the basis of trust and relying on God, infinite God rather than finite self, you know. And this is just some great stuff, and I'm so glad we're going through that. And with that, I'll pass. I'm really looking forward to hear what others have to share. Thank you.
Thanks, team. All right, next up is Anne Marie M, and then we're going to take another list. Hopefully I can have my math right today, get everybody in.
Okay. Hey, thank you, Russ. This is Anne Marie M, miraculously recovering through God's grace and mercy. So I've heard a lot, and I'm in South Carolina. Anne Marie M is South Carolina. I've heard a lot of good things, and one of which was that, you know, when we're in fear, I'm not trusting God, and I believe that. And for me, I think that it's not fear that's the character defect. It's the character defect I'm thinking is that I am self-reliant, and that self-reliant causes the fear. And that's happened over and over again for me. And if I get into that too much and thinking that I can handle whatever problem there is coming up on my own, I end up getting in trouble. So it is a corroding thread, and I like the definition that was just mentioned. And I've also heard a couple of people talk about the need to share and to work through that fear and to do that. And that's what I'm doing. I told myself that I would do my best to share every third day. Like I said this earlier this week, or I guess whenever I shared 3 days ago, that this is my home group and I want it to continue. And it's, you know, I need to be a responsible member of this group. So I am here and relying on God so that I can speak. And I appreciate all the shares. So with that, Russ, I'm just going to pass. Thanks.
All right, Anne-Marie. Thank you. So I think we could take 4 more shares. We'll go with that, and if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back. So let me know who wants to share. We need 4 big ones.
Vasa O.
In Rhode Island.
Okay, I got 5. I got someone
Leanne.
Leanne, I got Leanne.
Felicia in Rhode Island.
Felicia. Is it Felicia? Felicia.
Yes, Felicia. Thank you.
Felicia B. Leanne. I didn't get the first initial. And then we could take one more.
Clarice H.
Mm-hmm.
Clarice H. And Victor, I heard you. So if we can jump you in there, we will.
That's okay. Okay, no problem. Don't worry about it.
We'll try to hook it up. We'll try to hook it up, bro. No problem. All right. Vasa, you are up.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Russ, for your service. And I'm Vasa, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, calling from Port Charlotte, Florida. And yes, we are under fears. And I remember when my sponsor said for me to list all the fears that I had in my lifetime. My goodness, I had a fear for every single day of the year and even more. And I remember when I would go to the meetings and people would talk about their fears, I'd say, oh, I got to add that one. Oh, I got to add that one. It was paralyzing. Well, I did not know I could trust and rely on God. I trusted and relied on myself or somebody else. But anyways, it was always losing something. I was always afraid of losing something that I wouldn't get. For example, husband or kids, or getting cancer, heart problems, fear of the dark, fear of dying. That was a big fear of me. And I mean, this was in my 40s, and I'm like in my 79 years old, and all those fears, it is by the grace of my higher power, have been gone gradually, I would say all in one day, because I've been working through my fears. And I remember my sponsor, what do you think, when did the fear started? And I do believe some of the fears are passed down from my parents, and I've passed some of the fears to my own children. And it's but I've gone through those fears. They don't haunt me any longer. The only fear that I have today, and I'm a big fear. I'm not saying I don't get a little fear here and there. I still can get it, but I know what I need to do. I need to trust and rely on God, and I need to share about my fears and not to be embarrassed or ashamed what I was afraid of, you know, losing my husband for another woman. I would have been so embarrassed to say that. And so I have a big fear today. Our daughter has been pulling away from us. It has been for quite a few years. And my fear is not that, you know, I want my daughter. I love my daughter. And she's like in her 50s right now. And she's blaming us for her problems, you know. But I know, you know, I used to blame people, places, and things. And I needed to work through them, through that stuff. So she's on her journey, but it's the fear of being abandoned. I don't like that. You don't have to be my best friend, but don't abandon me because it hurts too much. But I have to trust and rely on God. Okay, God, I'm putting her in your hands. Thank you very much for letting me share that pass.
Thanks, Bob. So next up is Leanne, I believe, H. Bye bye, Felicia D.
Hi, it's Leanne F. as in Sam. And that's okay. Thank you for all the shares. I, after doing my latest fourth step again, I just realized that I'm totally fear based more than resentment based. And I remember before I knew how to interpret the big book, years ago when I was first placed in the hospital, I opened the book right to the fear prayer. And I didn't even read the book yet. And I read that prayer. Please remove the fear and direct my attention to what you would have me be. I was so impressed by that. That is like perfect prayer. And I remember I wrote it down and stuck it on the mirror in the hospital. That's the first thing I read out of the big book. Fear, it just drove me. Recently, I heard somebody share that the opposite of faith is being certain. And I thought that was kind of interesting because I was always addicted to making things come out in a certain way that having to be certain about how an outcome is drove me to such rigidity.
I became very rigid in my ways because I wanted to have a certain outcome the way I wanted it. And faith in God, I can have faith. I could be certain that he's going to have the best for me, but I can't be certain of what that best is. And I always want to know that. I want to be certain. I don't want to have to fall off a cliff backwards and trust him. Although his track record with me is really good. God's track record with me is so good that when I look back on it, why do I doubt, you know? Why do I doubt that he's not going to have the best for me? Because sometimes the best is really uncomfortable. And I want to be certain that I'm going to be comfortable and safe and feel good. And I want all that certainty in my life. And it's not always there, except in trusting God's character. That I'm starting to be more certain about. But this, you know, this topic of fear, it drives me through. It kept me very, very below weight. I did so much control with my food because I didn't want to feel uncomfortable. The emptier I am, the more comfortable I was. And I really strived for that. And I have to be very careful about that today. The lower I go in my weight, the more controlling I get. And that's really dangerous. So thanks for letting me share. I just wanted to say out loud again that I need to let go of certainty. I need to let go of the way God is going to show up the best way. I can't be certain about it. All I can be certain is that it's going to be the best. Thank you. I pass.
Thanks, Leanne. Next up is Felicia D, followed by Clarice H.
Hi, this is Felicia D from Rhode Island, although in Dallas today. Thank you so much for your service, Russ. Thank you, everyone, for your service opening the meeting, and thank you to everyone who shared today. Appreciate everyone. I love this sentence. This one, fear owned my life. It owned my soul. Like, I went to sleep with fear. I woke up with fear, and it ran pretty much every moment of my day. I always felt like I was on a borderline panic attack and often had them. And fear mixed with just such low self-esteem. So always afraid that I was going to get caught not knowing what I was doing. Feeling like even as like a child in elementary school that God gave a rule book to everyone and packed that like in their DNA. And I just missed that. Like the operator of the assembly line just like went to the bathroom or something. And so everyone else had a blueprint for life and I was missing it and always behind the gate and petrified of making the wrong action of not belonging. You know, and I know that some of my fears of not being good enough, of being defective, of being broken, of being unworthy of love, of being worthy of rejection and abandonment are because my dad left. You know, it really wasn't about me. It was about his alcoholism. But as a young child, like I didn't know that. So I just thought, well, clearly I'm not worth sticking around for. And that just led to so much fear that other people would leave. And I really became, I just didn't even have a sense of self because my coping mechanism to manage that fear so that I wouldn't be alone because that would somehow prove my biggest fear that I was really not worthy of love or connection led me to be such a chameleon that it was unrecognizable and I had absolutely no idea what I liked or what I thought or what I wanted because it was whatever the group of people I was around thought or wanted so that I could fit in, always feeling like a complete fraud and always petrified I was going to get caught. I was listening to Ruth M. yesterday, and she talked about if we pray and we ask God for things, that even in that, there's self-reliance, thinking that we know what God should do for us, and then arrogance that we should ask, tell God what he needs to do for us. And that truly surrendering is just saying, like suiting up and showing up for him and asking him to figure out what we need. And that sometimes he needs us to sacrifice ourselves for the greater good. And sometimes he asks us to do things that aren't even great for us, but they're great for the world. And it was just such an interesting way to think of things, and just such opposite way that I ran my life. I always felt like, you know, along with all that fear, I had just overwhelming self-pity and entitlement, like the world owed me because I had had such sacrifice. I'm so grateful that I don't have to live that way today, and that the 12 steps give me the opportunity for a different life. Thank you, Pat.
All right, thanks, Felicia. So Clarice and Victor, if you each take 2 minutes, we might be able to get everybody we have that wants to share.
All right. Thank you, Russ. This is Clarice H. in Chicago, currently in Tampa. But these shares are just so amazing, starting with Nick, who kicked off the meeting. This is just, it's really amazing, the idea that what I get to learn in this program, and the idea that it was, the fear was woven into every single thing my entire life, though I did not know. I had no idea. I mean, I'm in my late 50s. I was like, I am a woman, hear me roar. You have a problem, give it to me, because I'll figure out a solution for you. But this program is just showing me that this fear has, I've always had it, didn't know I had it, but the fear was what was actually driving me. The reason I, you know, worked hard, the reason I was always going and doing and trying to accomplish, and the reason I wanted to be the best mom and wife and business partner and friend and daughter, and all of that was driving, I mean, fear was driving me in everything. And I know that God doesn't want me living in that fear. You know, I'm learning all of this through this program, and, you know, God's got this, not Clarice. You know, I don't have anything. I mean, this, all the fear that I didn't even know that I had led me here, which that part is a blessing, but now I'm just learning a new way, and this new way of trusting and relying on God gives me so much freedom, so much serenity. I'm just so, so grateful. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Clarice. So next up is Victor B.
Yeah. Hey, good morning, everybody. Victor, compulsive overreader. And I could have just paused for the next meeting, but I'll just real quickly, I just want to remind myself and share that I've got to remember previously we read in the third step, this is the how and why of it. First of all, we had to quit blaming God. And when I'm blaming God, I'm full of fear, you know, because I'm not trusting in God to provide. But I just want to say most of my fear came in the worst point. I remember before I was a compulsive eater, I started doing things in the dark, right? And I remember for the first time in my life at 8 and 9 years, because of some secrets and things I was doing outside of my family's awareness. I remember doing these things, and I've shared them in a fifth step. I don't need to share them on this group with other kids my age, you know. But I remember walking into my family's house that time around 8 or 9 years old, and I remember for the first time in my life being consumed with the idea of they only knew and found out. And that started a life of double life of hiding and presenting a public image. And that fear got worse and worse. And the only way I could quiet it was food and other medications. And so the long story short of it is, I love this piece that talks about it's. We looked at the common manifestations of a self-centered life. And resentment is one, and fear is another. And the beautiful thing, which was so radical, was when I had all this anger and resentment, when I began to unpack them with those columns, which is such a, I feel like a gift from God, those columns, I found out that I wasn't angry at all. I was looking to satisfy my own security needs, that looking for some people, places, things to satisfy the needs in me that only God could. So I just wanted to share that today, that I have to realize that any resentment is usually fear, and I've only learned that through the steps. And I was going to just pass, but it's 2 minutes, so. But I know that when I'm God-centered, I'm not fear-centered. When I'm God-conscious, I'm not self-conscious in fear. And when I'm God-seeking, I'm not full of self-seeking fear and trying to protect my own security. Like, I let God protect. God's protection and care. Thank you.
All right, Victor, thanks a lot. You are last share. Thank you to everybody that shared for this meeting. And next week will be in the new year. So thank you to everyone that helped do service on in December here. We appreciate it. And you can stick around for next meeting, which is unrecorded hour of study following this closing. Today's share ID, Friday, December 27, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,028. And now we're going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. I have Nancy R. She's going to read A Vision for You. A book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you till then.
Good morning, Nancy R. from Illinois, recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.